My name is Emily Edmonds, and I coordinate a volunteer group called the Western North Carolina Food Policy Council. We cover the 7 western counties from Haywood to Cherokee, and we're hosted through Western Carolina University's Public Policy Institute.
What is the mission of Western North Carolina Food Policy Council?
We started about 4 years ago with the goal of strengthening both sides of the food system. So looking at ways that we could strengthen agriculture in our region, as well as ways that we could strengthen food access. So we try to network all the groups that are working on the ground. We also try to provide a voice for our region as a whole, in terms of legislative efforts and things like that, that can have a real impact on how we do small farm agriculture, as well as how we do hunger and food insecurity programming.
Tell us a bit about the Appalachian Farm School for Western North Carolina farmers that's coming up.
This is a pretty exciting project for us. We got a small grant from the Community Foundation of Western North Carolina late last fall. And one of the things we had said we wanted to do with it was to try to strengthen the resources that were available for small farmers out here. It's a really geographically disparate area. It's 3.5 hours from one end to the other. So a lot of programs people can't get to or don't make it to. And what we wound up doing was actually just reaching out to everybody who was already providing agribusiness training and saying, look, let's put all this together in one place, make it a lot easier for the farmers to access it. We can use some of our grant money to put it on, to reduce the cost for the farmers, and make it so that it's as easy as possible for them to come. And the other thing we were able to do with that is once we had all those people on board, we actually were able to go to a lot of the state agencies that regulate or work with us, like the North Carolina Department of Agriculture and Cooperative Extension, and say, hey, we're going to do this. And they actually are able to bring people out to our region, which is something that we really wanted to focus on, was connecting small farmers to the resources and the actual people who are going to be regulating and working with them on a daily basis.
Is the area seeing an increase in the number of small farms?
Yeah, we are. It's actually the last census of agriculture was pretty interesting for our region because we were one of the few that didn't actually lose a lot of farmland acres. And it wasn't because we didn't lose farms. It was just because we had more and more people stepping up to start new farms and put new land into farm conditions. And so a lot of our participants that have registered already and a lot of the people we work with are new and beginning farmers who are either young and just getting into this or who have retired here and who are getting into this and trying to get a handle on not just farming as a way of life and as a lifestyle that they're choosing, but also the ultimate bottom line of farming as a business.
What types of classes or instruction will these new farmers have access to?
The way that we designed it was so that it would be geared a little bit more for them. Instead of, you know, really diving deep into you're going to spend 9 weeks writing your business plan, we wanted to instead give them kind of an overview of all the issues surrounding small farms and what they're going to come up against, and then give them the tools and resources to follow through with that and see what they needed to do. So we're going to cover the basics of soil and pest management. We're going to cover the basics of agribusiness business planning. And so what are the financial things you need to look out for? What are the price points you need to consider? Supply and demand, all of those kinds of things. We'll do a class on marketing, market feasibility. So how can you price your products in the right way and where can you sell them? And then also everything from, you know, building a website to working with social media to working in your community to raise your visibility. We're also doing a class on navigating regulatory issues, which I think will be really helpful for people. There's a lot of changes with the Food Safety Modernization Act coming out. There's also a lot of concern around good agricultural practices or GAP certification, and so we'll have specialists there to talk about all of those things, fresh produce safety handling, you know, what you need to do to sell at farmers markets, value-added processing. And then our last big class is a class on law, taxes, and land issues. So we'll have people to talk about farmland preservation, people to talk about how to place your land in trust or to pass it down or to set up succession planning, people to talk about crop insurance and what you can do and what you're eligible for, all of those kinds of things. And then we'll wrap up at the end with a resource fair where we bring a whole bunch of agencies into the room and turn our farmers loose and let them really connect with people directly to get the resources that they need.
What is GAP certification?
You and everybody else wants to know the answer to that question. GAP certification is called Good Agricultural Practices Certification. What it means is that there's a team partly with U.S. Department of Agriculture, partly with NC Department of Agriculture, and they will come and do food safety audits on your farm. And GAP certification basically says that you are following this set number of regulations. And it's not scary. It's actually, it's good for you, and it's stemming from a place where, you know, we want to make sure that the food that we are harvesting locally is safe for people to eat, and that we have a record of where it came from the beginning in case anything goes wrong. You know, you've seen a lot of food safety outbreaks in the last little bit, especially with things like leafy greens. So that's where this is coming from. The problem is that a lot of small farms have, it's an investment to get yourself to the place where you can pass GAP certification, but they do have grant money available to help you get set up for that. And what GAP certification does eventually is get you to a point where you can sell into wholesale markets. So most retailers, grocery stores, restaurants, things like that are not going to accept produce from anybody who is not GAP certified, because they want to have that guarantee that there is a record and that, you know, the produce has been handled in a very safe way. So that's what GAP certification is, and a lot of people in North Carolina are starting to deal with it, especially small and medium-sized farmers.
And the focus of WNC FPC is seven counties.
Our grant award was for our seven counties, but we do network with a lot of the other food policy councils in the area. There's some groups developing in Transylvania, Yancey, Avery, Mitchell, and then we work with Asheville-Buncombe Food Policy Council as well. So we haven't limited our intake for this program to those seven counties, but we did want to make sure that we focused on them.
And there is a cost involved.
There is a cost. It's a 9-week program, 6 classes, dinners provided at every class, and it's a $75 cost. That's really just to help us cover a little bit of what we're doing in terms of dinner and course materials. The Community Foundation's grant funding is able to help us get the instructors out there and get everything set up, which is really great.
Emily Edmonds is director of WNC FPC. That's the Western North Carolina Food Policy Council. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, David.